So the last we left off was pretty much our couple was feeling a nice connection, nice draw with each other. And they're willing to make the jump, they're ready to do it, to commit to each other. As we spoke about, the whole idea of Kashas Yivuk and Kikuyas Yamsuf is that a Chasan and Kala need to be ready to take a jump, a leap of faith. Being that this is such an important nekuda, I'll just leave you with one last thought, which is a chuppadika thought. But along these lines, the Cheshev Sofer, who was the son of the Ksav Sofer, or maybe another son of the Chasam Sofer, I don't remember. Maybe it was Shimon Sofer. He says, "What's pshad in Haviyah Mekudesh Asli Kadash Ma'ishav Yisrael?" Kadash Ma'ishav Yisrael means that in the same way that the Yidden Har Sinai, that they didn't know exactly what they were getting into, but they said Na'aseh V'Nishma, and they accepted because they believed in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that this is my zivug. So too, when a chassan declares to his kala, Haviyat Mikudesh Sikidas Moshis V'Yisrael, he's saying, I don't know you and you don't know me. But I believe in HaShemayim that this is a right shidduch. And I'm willing and ready to take a leap of faith with you, because this is the way. It's V'Arastich Li B'Emuna. So therefore, if there's anything which comes out which is perhaps most central to this whole process, it's the shift in thinking that I have to know her, and if I don't, it reflects a lack of chemistry and understanding of potential. Chas v'shalom, it's mamish lahepech. That the more that a person is mechazik himself in emuna, these are the building blocks, which are the ingredients to establishing a good marriage and a home of shalom bayis. So just before a chassan especially is ready to get engaged, he should certainly speak it over with a balitza. If he hasn't had one until now, certainly wise to just go over things with a balitza. More importantly, to go to a tzaddik and to get a bracha. At the beginning of bracha, let the tzaddik know that this is the girl, and going out, and you know, just to share your heart for a moment with the tzaddik, and to get the bracha of a tzaddik, that everything should be benachas. Because just because a person finds the zivug of his, doesn't mean that everything's going to be smooth. There's lots of challenges from the engagement to the chuppah, and then they have a whole lifetime of potential challenges. So to get a bracha from a tzaddik is like a rishos, a nesinas rishos from the tzaddik. And also will ensure also be'ezus Hashem that there should be harmony in the shidduch from this point forth. So now our chassan and kala are engaged, and they make their l'chaim, they make their vort, whatever it is. Now comes a very delicate, misunderstood, gray area of the relationship called the engagement period, of which a person has to be very careful. Some of the reasons are obvious, but some are not so obvious. But the dangers of the engagement period should be very clear to chassan and kala beforehand. That they should understand that due to what we're going to speak about, there needs to and there should be somebody involved with the chassan and kala throughout the entire engagement period, that they trust, or they consider to be a das Torah, to guide them through the process to make sure that everything is done b'nachas to b'kosher. There's lots of room for error and for michshol. It's a very sensitive time period, because many times the kala would like to see the chassan a lot, and the chassan may not want to see the kala as much. or vice versa. And if they have to try to settle things on their own in terms of how things will be done, in terms of their relationship, at this point of time, it can get very tedious and very straining on the chasan and kala for reasons. And so therefore, it's very important from the beginning that they have somebody that they can speak to, that they should give etzah to. What we're going to discuss now is just klalim in the sinyan. But it's important to know that for every klal, the greatest klal, as Tzaddikim can tell us, is to know that there is no klal. Which means to say that every situation may be different. That although there's a klal, circumstances may call for different measures. The first thing which we need to be aware of is that which Chazal say, the leka ksuva de la rami bitigra. That there is no ksuva, that there's no machlekas involved in it. Every single ksuva comes along with a machlekas. Whether it's going to be chas v'shalom between the chasan and kala, it's usually between the parents. It shouldn't be a surprise for the chasan and kala that although they feel and they think that they're at this momentous time in their lives where it couldn't be any better and things are couldn't be more perfect, that there could be such machlekas and such difficulty surrounding them, to know that from the beginning, that this is something which is to be expected. And if it doesn't happen, ashrehem v'ashrei chalkam. But it's something to be expected, that as soon as they wish mazel tov, that already things are going to start to unfold. And as Chazal said, the leka ksuva to the Rami Beitigra. That there's no ksuva, that there's not some type of a machlekes which is involved. One of the reasons for that is because on every single level of the chasana, there's a lot which is being invested. Especially mitzvah the parent, that first of all, the chasana is a tremendous expense. We're talking tens of thousands of dollars. It's not easy for most people to make a chasana. And because of that, there can be a machlekes in terms of who pays for what or how much pays for what. This one side doesn't want this to be put in. Why should I have to pay for it? How many guests? Every single way, mamish, at every point, is shaykh for another machlekes to take place. And on top of the fact that it's a tremendous expense, this is something which is very dear to their heart. I mean, they're marrying off their child. They've been looking forward to this moment their whole lives. And so therefore they're emotionally attached because they want it to be done in a certain way. They've always envisioned it like this. So it's the wedding of their child and they have to commit to a lot of money. And plus, people are usually very taxed and very stressed in terms of the amount of invitations and who to invite and who not to invite, and people get upset at them. It's a very sticky time. Chasan and Kala are literally walking on a tightrope. Emotionally, and we'll see, even spiritually, it's a very difficult time. So it's not to have too high expectations in terms of just how blissful this time period one may expect to be. Not to have shattered dreams when things start to get a little bit rough. Now, in terms of between the chasan and kala themselves, as we said before, that the chasan and kala, that the idea of engagement means that there's a progression which is taking place from day to day between the chasan and kala, that they feel this idea of mashcheni acharecha narutza, that they feel a pull to each other. That when they're with each other, it feels right. And there's a certain sense of, even if I can't explain it, if I'm not with him, if I'm not with her, it just doesn't feel right. And so therefore, when it's time to get engaged, it's time to make the jump. So at that point, the chasan and kala, if you were to ask them today, would you like to be married? They would say yes. They would like to be married and to start their life. Right? That would be the normal, natural way of doing things. Right? The fact that a chasan and kala get engaged is a declaration It's a statement which they're saying, I want to marry this person. Ideally, they would be married today. Except, it's not the way we do things. There needs to be invitations, there needs to be preparations, there's a lot which needs to be done in terms of planning a chasna, planning for after chasna, living life together, having an apartment, v'chule. But if you were to ask them, they're ready to be married. Now, what that means is that, like in every relationship, the relationship evolves, and it goes from one step to the next step to the next step. It's the evolution of a relationship. Not just a relationship between a boy and a girl, but just even in any relationship, that as time goes on, that whether it's a couple or friends, they become more revealing, they share more of who they are, they become more loose, they become, you know, even more lax in terms of even how they, you know, you may not tap somebody on the shoulder, or, you know, give somebody a hug, or pinch their cheeks to somebody who you're not close with. Right? Even in a physical bonding sense that a guy has with a friend. You know, you do things with a friend who you're close with, which you wouldn't do to a guy who you're not close with. It's just the nature of the relationship. It's obvious. It gets to a point of relationship between a chasan and a kala when they become engaged, that in terms of how they can proceed forward is very limited at this point. Because the next stage of the relationship, usually at that point, means that the relationship will be furthered because of a physical relationship. Because they've invested themselves psychologically. And in our circles, many times after 5-6 dates, they've invested themselves emotionally and they've shared a lot with each other. And that's created a certain sense of mashcheni acharecha noritza. At this point, it's only natural, it only makes sense that in order to be one with that person, to be connected to that person on every level, that the physical relationship should begin. But of course, there's a huge wall of halacha which is standing in between the chasan and kala at that point. Huge wall of halacha, which doesn't allow the relationship to progress. And because the relationship, and this is a very important point, because the relationship is impossible to progress forward at this point in the normal way that has been progressing until now, the time spent between the chasan and kala at this point will usually fall into the category of the more time that they spend with each other, the worse that it will be for them. Because they have nothing more to share with each other in terms of creating a bond per se with each other. At this point, what will bring them to the next step in their relationship is having a physical relationship. And that's something which obviously will have to wait till the chasana. And just like by Adam and Chava, that the root of the chait of the Eitz Hadas was a bechina, as Rashi says, kol hamosif goreya, that because Chava, she was maisif, she was goreya, and that caused the period between Adam and Chava, was kol hamosif goreya. At this point, chasan and kala should be aware that as much as they would like to continue to spend time with each other, it should be known to them that for your sake, and for the sake of your future life together, that the time which you spend together now puts your entire relationship in jeopardy. Because it's eino dome, a relationship between a chasan and kala, that if there is zaycha, if they have this chus, to be able to stay completely clean in these inyanim during the engagement period, the kedusha of tahara that they go into the chuppah will be different, which is that they feel like they invested and they preserved and they were shomer themselves to do things kedas uchidin, brings a tremendous sense of accomplishment and kedusha to the marriage for their entire lives. So therefore, in a certain sense, these days of engagement are like days of suffix, where chasan and kala feel like they're in no man's land. That they're not engaged, that they're not dating anymore, which there's a progression, and they're not married yet, which is where they would like to be, which they said that they're ready to be. So therefore, they're in this very gray state called engagement, which is one big suffix, because they are practically married, but they're very limited in what they can do. And therefore, that poses tremendous challenges. because all that they feel when they're in the company with each other is, I would like to have physical contact. So therefore, time spent with each other is very dangerous and needs more more hara in terms of how to be magdir vizinyana. If we want to find a prototype or a makor in Chazal for where we see a concept of engagement and how it should go, or in terms of how it should go, yeah. Chazal tell us that when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, as we've spoken about, Klal Yisrael took a leap of faith. As we said, that Pesach is considered to be the engagement of Klal Yisrael with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. As we said, that Shvi Shel Pesach, which is Kriyas Yamsuf, that's the Kashas Lezavgun Kriyas Yamsuf. But that leap of faith that Bnei Yisrael took was, I'm ready to marry you. That's Pesach time. And that's why Pesach time we read Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim is the love song, meaning it's the Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li. Doidi means it's a state of romance. I mean, it's not a state of marriage. Marriage is Reyim Ahuvim. Reyim. Dodim is a chasan and a kala. Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li. That's why on all chasan imitations, they usually write Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li. Because it represents the feelings that a chasan and a kala have to each other as doidim, as beloved to one another. Hence, Shir HaShirim HaPesach. And so therefore, the days from Pesach to Shavuos is an engagement period. Because we know that Shavuos is Matan Torah, as the Gemara says at the end of Tainis, B'yom Chasunoso Zu Matan Torah. That Matan Torah is considered to be the Yom HaChasana between Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. So therefore, what we have here is a time period from Pesach, whether you want to say from the first day of Pesach or the seventh day of Pesach, until Shavuos, which is an engagement period between Klal Yisrael and the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Which tells us that the engagement period really should be 50 days or less. Which is about 6 weeks. 7 weeks, 6 weeks. It's usually more than enough time to plan a chuppah and a chasana and to get things in order. This whole notion of 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, even chalila. In some circles it'll be okay, perhaps we'll get to that in Mitzvah Hashem. But derech klal, it only creates tremendous challenges, and it comes from a place where the old school thinking that has been influenced by the Gayim, that a chasan and a kala have to know each other for a long time. Secular parents will say you have to date for a year and 2 years. Mamish keneged dastar. 50 day. Kadosh Baruch Hu took Bnei Yisrael after a 50 day engagement period. Another way to look at it would be Yom Kippur. Not only is Shavuos considered to be the Yom HaChuppah, we know many things about the Yom HaChuppah relate to Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur is considered to be the Chuppah. And the engagement day of Yom Kippur would either be Tu B'Av, as the Gemara says at the end of Tainus again, that it's a day of Shiduchin. Or you can also say Rosh Chodesh Elul, because Elul, the whole idea of Elul is Ani L'Doidi V'Doidi Li, Kayadu. So whether you want to say that it's from Tu B'Av until Yom Kippur, which is a 55-day period, or if you want to say that it's from Rosh Chodesh, in which case it's a 40-day period, either way, it can be. It's almost like, you know, for Benyanim Tzadikim Shayim, you know. Whatever it is, there's a time period here where we see approximately how long the engagement period should be. We take a look at the engagement period that Klal Yisrael had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu from Pesach until Shavuos. Take a look at the Torah. A very difficult time for Klal Yisrael. A lot of complaints, a lot of struggles. Hashem was trying to take us as quickly as possible to the Chuppah. As quickly as possible to the Chuppah. He tried to rush us. Hashem says, really I wanted to take you Derech Eretz Plishtim. But no, Kikarofu, but there's going to be more milchamas there. I mean, Hashem was expected that there would be milchamas on the way. So he tried to take them in a way where there would be least milchamas. So in order to minimize the milchamas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushed off the Chuppah a little bit. That's a reason to push off a Chuppah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to bring them to the Chuppah as quickly as possible. But look at the challenges that they met on the road. All the complaints about the water and how many Yidden died during this time period. And most of all, who attacked Bnei Yisrael during this time period? Amalek. Vayavu Amalek. Then Amalek attacked Bnei Yisrael. And the reason why Amalek attacks Bnei Yisrael is because Amalek is Gematria Safik. And Chasan and Kala, as we said before, that the whole period of engagement is in a period of Safik. You really don't know where they are. And this leads us to another very important concern in terms of the time spent between Chasan and Kala. Not just that spending time together will create problems in the relationship in terms of that they may come to physical contact. Not just the fact that already the engagement period is fraught with the potential for machlekes between parents, as we see in the Dor HaMidbar, the challenges that the Yidden had then. Not just mitzvah the fact that a chasan and kala, that it creates a strain in the relationship because they can't progress in the relationship. And that causes a sense of frustration between the chasan and kala. In the relationship itself, it causes a frustration. Because they would like to proceed in the relationship and they're finding that the time spent with each other is not as geschmack as it was when they were dating with each other. And it could be called a mosif goreya. They can lose some of the fire that they had in the relationship beforehand. But on top of that, there's also the concern of that the chasan should be nichshol chas v'shalom and shechazer al-batal. That even if there's no physical contact, just the mere fact that he spends time, even if it's not mamish yichud, and that one of the reasons that even during the dating period, they have to be so careful, Hashem Yirachim, in terms of the halachas of yichud, that the chasan and kala should be aware in terms of what's permissible, what's not permissible, in halacha in terms of going out with each other. But especially during the dating period, alachas kama v'kama, that she's like pas besala. She has to be very careful that he mamish feels like she's his. And she feels the same way. And they know between each other that it would be okay to lay hands on each other. But mamish, no. But even if he doesn't, the fact that he even spends time with her can bring him to b'mitzi zayel v'atala. And that is the biggest bichshol of Amalek, as it says, Asher Karcha Baderech. That on this derech between engagement and the chasana, Amalek came and he was machshol b'nei Yisrael, and Asher Karcha Baderech, as Chazal say, Karcha is lashon keri. This is something which a chasana kala, not so much the kala, because she wouldn't understand this, but what the chasana needs to be told by Meir Hara, that he needs to understand this from the get-go, that it's a time that's very dangerous to be nichshol in this. And even spending any time with each other, whether it's physical contact, chas v'shalom or not, it can bring the chasan to that. It's not something which he wants to have in his pocket before getting married. The Belzer Rav, Rabbi Yisachar Doiv, he types the pasuk, v'hu k'chasan yotzei mechupasa, like a chasan who leaves his chuppa. Yasis kagibur. Why is he sus? Because he's like a gibur. Because he's a gibur hakovish es yitzra. That's why the chasan is so geschmack when he leaves his chuppah. And he goes to go to the kala, to go to the bedekin. He's yasis because he was kagibur. That he was kovish es yitzra. As he says, lorutz oirach. Oirach, he says, which means the path, is a lashon, as it says in Tehillim, orchi viribi zerisa. Orchi viribi is my seed. Lo Ritzarach means that he was so careful and he was mezgaber on the Inyan Shmiras Habris. And because of that, that's why the chasan feels so amazing on his chuppah. So to be careful in this Inyan of Asher karcha b'derech. Another aspect of Asher karcha b'derech is that many times, if a chasen and kala, even if not, even if they don't spend time with each other as much during the engagement period, it's very possible that a chasen and kala will start to have doubts about whether or not this is a right shidduch for them or not. Very common. That's the first thing that what needs to be known, is that it's not an implication or a simim min shemayim, that it's not the right shidduch. It's considered to be a very, very normal thing, because it's an important decision. You're not seeing that person as much. So a person can be besafik. That's what we said. The entire period is fraught with sveikos. That the engagement itself brings upon sveikos. What we would call cold feet. Cold feet. Right. Even cold feet is a bechin of a molek. That's also part of Asher Karcha. Karcha is a lashon of cold, Rashi says. Chazal says. Cold is a lashon of karcha. Asher Karcha b'derech means that you have cold feet, because the feet is the place where you make a jump. Right? If your feet are in the Yamsuf and you need to jump, your feet can get cold, right? That's why many times the chasan and the kala, they have cold feet in terms of whether to get engaged or not, because hey, your feet are in the Yamsuf. It's cold in there. But the feet, the Sfarim HaKadoshim say, is a bechin of emuna. The Sfarim say that if a person has feet problems, the first thing that he should think about in terms of what the root of that is emuna, inyanim of emuna. But if he's lacking in his inas erastifli v'emuna, he has a bechin of asher karcha, that he has cold feet. It's a very normal thing, which happens in the engagement process. But he should know, and he should be mechazik himself and his chazaka meikara, that if he goes into it knowing that the whole thing is an emuna, that it's not, usually people who have the most cold feet are the people who analyze it like this way and that way, and they cleared and they spoke and they chopped it up in every way. Those are the people who usually have cold feet. But the people that they go into it b'emuna, they don't have so many sekos, because even the decision to become engaged was also a safek. But they felt the mashcheini. It wasn't an intellectual decision. It was a pull. And usually if they're careful not to see each other, the pull will exist, because that the excitement of seeing each other at the chuppah will continue to build. Masha'enkin, if they continue to see each other over the course of the engagement, because there's no movement forward at the relationship at this point, it can cause the fire which they have for each other to diminish and diminish, and when that fire diminishes, it gets cold. And so many people have what quote-unquote cold feet during the engagement period, is because the fire which they were hoping to build, because listen, until now, the more time we spent with each other, the more time the fire gains strength. All of a sudden, the more time we're spending with each other, the fire is going away. And that caused them to have doubts, because that they don't realize that at this point in the relationship, what you were doing until now is not going to work anymore. That at this point, the more time you spend away from each other, as they say, distance makes the heart grow fonder, that's this tkufa of the engagement period between chasen and kala. The Sefer Menaira Samar quotes the Psikta, which says, Reb Chiya bar Abba darshan the following pasuk. Taicheles memoshcha machala leiv. And the Chazal say that who has a machala slave? Because taicheles memoshcha means that if he's yearning with a certain meshicha, hamshacha, it causes a machala slave, that he doesn't feel good inside. It's a pain heart. Ze hamares isha benoita la'achazman. This is the person that he becomes engaged and he marries her after a lot of time. However, Eitz Chaim Taiva Ba'a, who's a person that he's zeichet to b'chin of Eitz Chaim? Zahama'aris Isha v'nait l'myad. That's a person that he becomes engaged and he takes her and marries her as soon as possible. It's a medrash. And in fact, the Radak on the Pasuk of Atikach Hatzaif Atiskas, which is by Yitzchak and Rivka, that it says that when she saw him, she took her scarf and she concealed her face. He writes, Me'uvdazu from here, Yesh Lilmod, you could see, Tznius be'inyanze, Shara'i le'isha, Arusa, that it's befitting of an engaged woman, of a kala, Shala tisra'i imachasim ashatinasa. She should not see her chasin until they become married. So the day of the chuppah. Mamish, completely. The Radak says completely she should not see each other. They should not see each other until the chuppah. In fact, the Klausenberg Rebbe writes in the tshuva, He says, Baruch Hashem kiyamti minhag avayisei v'rabiseinu, that I didn't see my kala the entire time until the day of the chuppah. That's a special feat, especially by the Hasidim, because the Hasidim have a different way altogether. But you'll find by the Hasidim that they get engaged, and they get engaged for a very long time. A very long time. Like, for example, my Rebbe, his grandson was engaged about 2 months ago, and they're not getting married until Kislev. But you can probably count on one finger how many times the Chassan and Kala met with each other before they got engaged. And how many times they're going to see each other before the marriage. Zero. So there's really, there's not much invested here in terms of, you know, emotional investment and anything else. It's just, there's no expectations. It's just like, okay, you can have a very long engagement period. And that could be great. In fact, Rav Aaron Kotler said, he said that the best time for a Ben Torah to steig and to grow is during the engagement period. He says, why? Because you don't have the tirdos of being married, and you don't have the worries of a bachar that you don't know when and how you're going to get married. So you know you're going to get married, which is awesome, and you don't have to worry about what it's like to be being married. So if a person wants to be a really serious Ben Torah, there's no better time to steig, Rav Aaron Kotler says, than during the engagement period. So for Chassidus Shavachar, it's gevaldik. Right? He knows that he's going to be married in 8 and 10 months, whatever it is from now. And he doesn't have the stresses of being married. And he doesn't have all the Yitzharas which we have. So for him, 10 months is 10 months of paradise. Whereas in our circles, 10 months is 10 months in Gehenna. That's because the whole process to get there was a totally different process. So a person can't say, oh, look at what they do, we should do the same. It's like, well, how did you get here? If you got here by seeing each other a lot, then you might as well get married very fast. Because the longer the engagement, the more problems are going to become involved. I think by them, it's a very different story. Pelle Yoitz writes the same thing, he writes. He says, Ani Meshaveach Minag Turkey. I praise the Minag which they do in Turkey. That they don't see each other, the Chasan and Kala, until the Chuppah of Achin Roy Lassus. That's why there's a bedekin. Bedekin means, like, you know, it's an unfamiliar face. Right? You say, oh yeah, this is right. This is the right girl. Right? That's the whole idea. Now, during this engagement period, there's an avoda as well. Before we move on to that, I'll just leave you with one last thing. So therefore, we spoke about having a rav, that they should have a mutual rav in order that they should save themselves from machlekes in terms of how much time that she wants to spend with him and him with her. I'd say maybe once a week would be an appropriate, maybe twice a week on occasion. But usually just once a week they should see each other, but not for a long time, but in a very open area during the daytime. You know, they should speak on the phone maybe just before Shabbos. You know, if you allow Chassan and Kala to text, they text each other forever and ever. There needs to be gedarim in terms of how much texting they're going to go on during this process. Everything needs an Eina Pekicha. It needs somebody to be able to guide them so that there's no, that the Kala shouldn't say, oh, he doesn't want to spend time with me. And he shouldn't say that also. But if there's somebody who's guiding them in their best interest, and the Rav, the Mayra Derech, the Baalei Hara, is telling them, listen, the reason why we're having these things is to protect you. So it should be good for you. As a Chacham who's Raya Sanaylad, it takes the stress off the relationship. Now, during the engagement period, there's a derech avayda, and there's very practical things which need to go on as well. The practical things which need to go on during the engagement period is that it's a time for a chassan and a kala to plan, you know, where they're going to live. And many things about, you know, married life in terms of, you know, how they're going to, you know, these financially, things like that should have been taken care of already before they got engaged. Ideally. But they're going to have to discuss and should be known. Many times it's taken for granted where and how they're going to live. And many times the parents take care of all these things. Right? But at least in our circles, you know, they're going to want to, you know, set up one of those lists, you know, at Better Bad Beyond, you know, what are they called?
Registry.
They have to set up the registries and all these other things they need to do. So, you know, they have to prepare. They have to prepare the way that good Americans prepare. So they go and they have to do these things. They have to prepare practically. Right? But also they have to prepare spiritually. Spiritually. And the first thing they need to prepare spiritually for during the engagement period is they're preparing for marriage. Right? The obvious one is that they have to be familiar with the halachos of Taharas and Mishpacha. That's first and foremost and very obvious. The one which is less obvious, which is equally important, is to prepare for the quote-unquote halachos slash hashkafos of Shalom Bayis. Right? So to have inyanim of halach, learning the halachos of Taras HaMishpacha without learning the quote-unquote halachos of Shalom Bayis is like, it's like a chatzi guf. In fact, the whole institution, the Gemara says, of Taras HaMishpacha is to preserve Shalom Bayis between Chassan and Kal. And so if a person is preparing the halachos of Taras HaMishpacha, but not actually preparing himself for Shalom Bayis itself, then he's actually being Oichez HaSatafel, or Menechez HaIker. But it's a time that a person should be speaking with not just, you know, a chassan teacher about the halachos, but be speaking with a Rebbe, or learning the Svarim HaKdoshim, or the books which speak about people who you trust. And you can't just go to a store and pick up any book and read about Shalom Bayis. Right? If they have somebody who you trust, who may be familiar with the books, you can go and you can ask them to look at it or to glance at it if they may be familiar with it. So yeah, this is the type of a book you want to read, because there's so many different views about Shalom Bayis, how marriage should work. So therefore, don't take for granted that anything which you pick up is going to be something which you can trust. Part of this is also becoming familiar with certain inyanim in halacha that a chassan and a kala need to know in terms of Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Kitchen. So many different inyanim which they should know as a chassan and a kala. They're going to have a home, you know. The wife is going to have questions in the kitchen. He may want to familiarize himself with some halachas of basav achalav, or Shabbos. You know, certain things that you just want to see that he knows a little something, and he should want to know a little something about these inyanim. So this is what's taking place during this time period of being engaged. That it's a time to prepare. She prepares herself, and he prepares himself for marriage life. On every level. Now, when it comes a week before the chasana, the relationship goes into a different gear. And at this point, instead of preparing for the life after marriage, of the chuppah, married life, the ikkar preparation between chassan and kal at this point should be focusing on preparing themselves for the chuppah itself, the day of the chuppah itself. The day of the chuppah, the day of the chasana, is of such high importance, such a day of tremendous kedusha, that at this point, the chassan and kal are preparing themselves for the yom chuppah itself. The minhag is that the chassan and kal don't see each other, don't speak to each other beforehand. Has a basis in that which the Mishnah says, that the Kohen Gadol would be Parish from his Isha a week before going into the Kodesh Kadashim on the day of Yom Kippur. Many things about the Yom HaChuppah are learnt out from Yom HaKippur. That we know that they fast, and it's a day of Mechilas Avonos, the Gemara says. So that week before Yom Kippur is considered to be like the week before Yom Kippur. Now the week before Yom Kippur is a Seres Yemei Tshuva. It's the days of Tshuva. Just like when Rosh Hashanah comes, you're automatically, immediately into a different zone. You're in Yom Kippur zone. So too, a week before the chuppah, the chassan and kala should be done with all the considerations. Their minds should not be involved anymore in the details of the chuppah, in terms of who's going to be coming, the invitation, this and that. It should be a time where primarily they're focusing on preparing themselves for the Yom HaChuppah. Just like before Shavuos, which is another bechina of the chuppah. But just like before Shavuos, there's Rosh Chodesh Sivan. And Rosh Chodesh Sivan is a Yantiv, and then the next day is Yom HaMayuchas, and there's Shloshes Mehagbala. Right? These are all days of Hachana. These are all days of Hachana. V'kidashtim Hayom U'machar. And as you get closer to the Chuppah, more Kedusha is expected from us. So this is the Zman of Tshuva. That even if the 40 days of engagement were days of Elul, which are also days of Tshuva. The whole period is a period of tshuva, but especially during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, that it's considered to be days which are already part of the formation of the year, of their lives together. You know, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, the whole year is invested in that. So too, their whole lives are invested in these 7 days. So the tefillos and the tshuvas, which they do, not just on the day of Yom Kippur, which is the day of the chuppah itself, but even starting 7 days beforehand, is considered to be days of a bechina, of a ha'ar of Aseres Yemei Tshuva, which the tefillos and the tshuva which they do during this time period, we're going to be very, very critical in terms of their lives together. Now, the Yom HaChuppah itself. Yom HaChuppah itself is a Bechina of Yom Kippur, it's a Bechina of Shavuos. Which is why the Chassan has, on the one hand, he's like a Melech, on the other hand, he's like a Kohen Gadol. The Shulchan Aruch Kodesh writes, V'tzrichin HaChassan V'Hakala L'Hiskadesh Atzman B'Me'od Ma'od bihikansam l'chupa. The Bilzerav, Rabbi Sechadov, told his son, Rabbi Arla, he says that this day of your Yom HaChuppah is perhaps even more precious than Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur you have every year, but your Yom HaChuppah, hopefully you only have one. So therefore you make it good, you only have one shot. This is your Yom Kippur which you're going to have, which is going to be the Yom Kippur for your whole life together with this woman. So therefore these 70, 80, 90 years, whatever it is, which with one spouse, there was one primary day of Yom Kippur, which everything is based entirely on that. So therefore it should be a day that although there's plenty, plenty of distractions on the day of a chuppah, that a chassan and kala can get dragged into, you know, with the gown and the pictures and the tuxedo and all the other things. A chassan and kala should try as much as possible to be in their own world. That everything which is going on, is discussions and the questions, even if they have to remove themselves from that focus, but it doesn't take them out of their space. That they're in a makom, that they're in a certain space, in a certain mind space, to have a certain mindset, that they focus on the kedusha the whole day, not just the you know when the people start coming for the Kabbalah's panah, but the whole day should be they're in a state of mind with a certain kovid rosh, b'simcha, b'tshuva, b'yishev adas, b'tshuva. Chassan, it's important that he should know the Rav Shitzer, in terms of this aspect of tshuva, the Rav Shitzer, before his son walked down the aisle to his chuppah, you know, that the Chassan and Kala walked down, you know, flanked by his parents on both sides, and the parents walked down with candles in their hands. So the Rav Shitzer told his son, he says, there's three times in your life that you walk down with candles. Now, one of them is by your bris. I don't know if we're knowing that way, but I guess in some places they are. The other is by a chuppah, and the other is by the Yom HaMisa. He says, by the bris and by your Yom HaMisa, you have no brera to do tshuva. This is the only time now that you're walking down with candles that you have brera to do tshuva. So if even walking down the aisle, standing under the chuppah, right. The more that a person, as he gets closer to the moment of chuppah, to be machazik himself more in deeper levels of tshuva, would be appropriate. Chassan needs to know that it's not just an auspicious time for him, but he's in a very exalted level. The fact that Chazal say that Hashem says about a chassan that is moichin elu akovanosa, the Degel Machaneh Ephraim says not only does a chassan have mechilas avonos, but everybody in the company of the Chassan and Kala also have Mechilas Avonos. The Chassam Sofer says that the Koyach of a Chassan on the day of his Chuppah is like the Koyach of the Gadol Ador. And the Brachos that a Chassan gives on the day of his Chuppah has the Koyach of that of a Gadol Ador. Which is why people don't even realize, why does everybody stand in line to get a Bracha for the Chassan? Right. Now you know why. People do it without knowing why, but now you know why. Because the kayach of the chassan on the day of his chuppah is like the Gadol Adar. The previous Blujva Rebbe from Borough Park. So his father was the Tzvila Tzaddik, and his great grandfather was the Bnei Yisachar. He said that on the day of his chuppah, an Alta Yid, who knew the Bnei Yisachar, came and gave him a kvittel. And he's probably 18, 17 years old, right? He was Chassidus Yid getting married. And he said, I had such a busha that here this Yid who knew the Bnei Yitzchak was giving me a kvittel. So he said, my father, the Tzvi Tzadik, came to me. And he said to me, Halavai shahaya b'yacholtel v'kabal kvittel k'mayisra. Halavai, that I should have the ability to take a kvittel like you should take, like you can take a kvittel today. She'etzra hayom k'yom kippur. Because today, it's for you, it's Yom Kippur. But even the Tzadik Hador, the Tzvi Tzadik was mamish, the Tzadik Hador. Even the Tzadik Hador, and it was his father, he said, I have hachnot to you today, that you have a madriga that nobody else has. This is your day, and you're like a b'chin of a Tzadik Hador. That the nekud of Tzadik Hador comes out within each and every chasen and kal on the day of the chuppah. And therefore, all the menhagim which we have in the whole seder of the chuppah, as the Matta Ephraim says, everything is learnt out from Matan Torah. All the menhagim, every single one is kadosh. When the kala would walk around the chasen, he would say like we say on Yom Kippur. He would say, when she walk around the first time, he would say achas. When she walk around the second time, he would say achas v'achas, achas v'shtayim, achas v'shalosh. Magen Avram, the Trisker Rav, Trisker Magid, and Parshas Koyach writes that when, as the kala walks around the chasen, she banishes all machlekes. As we said before, the less ksuva, the l'roma betigra, that every ksuva has machlekes there, and it banishes it away. As the Sar Shalom from Bel says, as the Gemara says in Yivamos, that an isha is like a chayma, and she's like a wall, and she protects him by walking around him seven times. She creates a chayma for him to protect him spiritually, physically. Everything is gebayit, everything is based on dvarim el yarnim ha'ayit. The Kedushas Levi, he says, he writes in the Kutim, that the reason why chasen and kala cry, they naturally cry underneath the chuppah, is because when a baby comes into the world, he cries. And since right now it's nigzer on them, how many children they're going to have. So there's a ha'ara of the cries of the children they're going to have, and the cries of the children which will they'll produce, bring them to tears at the chuppah. So many times the chasen and kala don't even know why they're crying, but he explained that it's coming from the tears of the future children that they're going to have, bring them to tears. The Tzanzarov, he said about himself that the Kedusha of the Chuppah is so great, many times I can't even lift my eyes to look up. Because the Kedusha of the Chuppah is so, so powerful. And being that it's a day of Yom Kippur, and the Kedusha is so great, so the Avodah is Tshuva, Tefillah, and Tzedakah, which is the day of Yom Kippur, it's the call of Yom Kippur. Tshuva, as we know. Tefillah, of course, it makes only sense. Rabbeinu Avigdor HaTzarfati writes, Vayata Yitzchak Lashem Lenechach Ishto, he writes, Mashma B'yom Nisuin Hirba V'Hipser B'Tefillah. And on the day that Yitzchak married Rivka, he davened a lot. Davened a lot. What do we do in Yom Kippur? We daven all day long. But it's a tshuva mitoich tefillah. But it's also a b'china of tzedakah. The Ezer Mikoydish writes on Ibn Ezer, Simon and Hey, the reason why the Chasen and Kala have their chuppah that's open on all four sides is to reflect and to make a statement that their home is going to be like the home of Avraham Avinu, which is open on all four sides. They dedicate themselves to be a home of tztaka and chesed. It's a time that they commit themselves to tshuva and tefillah and tztaka. When it comes to a basic approach, when it comes to the minhagim at the chuppah, and there's many, we don't have time to get into them, this is all very kaliistic. But the main thing that a chasen and kala should strive for at their chuppah and the whole process is just that there should be shalom. Yaakov Kamenetsky would say that when I married off my children and the mechutanim would ask me, so what's your minhag regarding this? I would say, my minhag is whatever you do, that's what I do. That's my minhag. For him, it was worth it at all costs to preserve the shalom between the families, like we said before, les ksuva de la rama v'tigra, that every chasana is so delicate that he made it his way that he would always look to foster shalom in every which way, that he would be meser nefesh and sacrifice his own inyonim so that there should be shalom for the chasana and kalam between the families. I'll just mention also just because I think it's something which people see all the time. That this pertains obviously to giving the kibbudin, right? You know, this one wants to give this kibbudin becomes a very, very sensitive thing because each family wants to give to their rav and to their mishpacha, and it's like a highlight in their lives. By giving a bracha, by giving a kibbud, what you're doing is that you're saying to a person, not I'm giving you a kibbud, I'm saying to you that you are a very important person in my life. And you will continue to be an important person in my life. And it's a certain sense of hakaras hatov. It's like one of the greatest hakaras hatovs that you could do for a person is to give them a kibbud at the chuppah. So therefore it becomes very, very sensitive. But afal pichin, the more that a person can try to go b'shalom as much as possible, it will only be a schus. Only be a schus for the chas and the kala. Many people say that reading the ksuva is considered to be like not such a chasha thing. Yeah, you just, you know, the whole institution of the ksuva, they say, is only to be mafsik between the first prayer guffin and the second prayer guffin. They say that even a kaif, even a monkey can read the ksuva. You don't need to have any qualifications whatsoever. You don't have to be a kashrus of an aid. It should just be known that the Divrei Yechezkel, the Shin of Rav, said, "Machaviv ani kriyas haksuva." I particularly like reading the ksuva. Mishum sh'ayidei zeh, because through reading the ksuva, efshar lifol b'kol yimei chayi b'nei hazuk. I could be piled good things for the life of this chasan and kala their whole lives. That's what he said. That by reading about the mefarnasaychim, the zanaychi, and other things in the chuppah, in the ksuva, he says, I'm able to be geyser. I'm able to be geyser and to make sure that which it says in the ksuva, that he'll take care of her, he'll provide for her, that they'll have shalom bayis. When I read it in a way that I make sure that this is going to happen. So api halacha may not have such an important place. But in pnimius, that a tzaddik should be the one who does it, that we respect it, we should give that chashivus as well. At my chuppah, I remember. I spoke to Reuven Feinstein, who's been a very, very close family friend since I was a kid. And I was speaking to him about different kibbudim. So he claimed then at least, that in Eretz Yisrael, the biggest kibbud is Misadar Kiddushin, and Kriyas HaKsuva is second to that. But he said he claimed that in America, Kriyas HaKsuva may even be a bigger kibbud than Misadar Kiddushin. So I don't know if everybody would agree to that per se, but it worked out great because I gave Reuven Kriyas HaKsuva, and I gave Reb David, his brother, I gave him Misadar Kiddushin. I don't know if Reb David would agree to that per se. So it could be Reb David felt that he was getting the biggest kibbud, and now Reuven thought he was getting the biggest kibbud. So it was great. But people see it as being a davar chashuv. At least, you know, the oilam. Maybe the Talmid Chachamim don't see it as being such a big kibbud. But the belt, you know, Kriyas HaKsuva is considered to be something of something special. So this takes us to our chuppah, you know, b'kedusha, and so therefore, just to recap, just as understanding the entire engagement period, the dangers, the potential dangers which are involved, but that the engagement period, instead of being a time, the chasana kala, try to spend furthering their relationship, it should be a zman of hachana, preparing themselves for married life, and a week before to prepare themselves for the chuppah. Because preparing yourself for the chuppah could be the greatest preparation for your married life. Because as you know, as the chuppah goes, as the day of the chuppah and the chasana goes, so too, you know, everything follows the haschala. And then the Shavu Brachos, of course. The Shavu Brachos is a bechina of Sukkos. That we sit in a chuppah for 7 days by Sukkos, just like every... You know, if you take a look in the sugyas of in Ksuvis about what the Shavu Brachos are about, and it has a lot to do with sitting under a chuppah for 7 days. We have Panim Chadashos, the Yushpizim and the Panim Chadashos at every single Shavu Bracha, every single day of Sukkos. And then the Shemini Atzeres. And Shemini Atzeres is really the celebration of Shemini Atzeres, which is not even a day of the Shavu Brachos, the day after Shavu Brachos, that the real celebration of the Chasan and Kala is that they succeeded. And that they succeeded in finding each other, and succeeded in making it through the days of tshuva, through the Yom Kippur, through the days of Sukkot. And now that they're by themselves and to themselves, they thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the brachos that Hashem bestowed upon them from all the days of the Shavuot brachos, that everything was smooth, that they can finally live regular life together. So that's why Shmini Atzeres is the greatest. It's the greatest day because now the Chasan HaKala can truly reflect, as Chazal say, that the whole aspect of Shmini Atzeres is that Hashem says, Kashi Alai Pridaschem, it's just a day between me and you. And that's how the Chasan HaKala feel on Shmini Atzeres. So the day after everything is done, and when they sit together, you know, in their home, you know, and they have their dinner together, they have their breakfast, whatever, their lunch together, and they feel like, you know, now they have, you know, now they're married and the whole festivities are over. You know, they're beginning life together. You know, that they had this period of what's called like a yinika, that everybody was helping them. And now that they're ready to stand on their own two feet and to build a life together, it should be a tremendous feeling of simcha at that time for the Chasan HaKala. So let's just hope that for each and every one of us here, if we're not there yet, that when we find the one, Mitz Hashem, we should, that it should be be'emuna, and that the engagement process should be b'shmira g'dayla for us and for Gans Klai, Sabuch HaMakom Shehem. So many people, it's a very difficult time period, Hashem Yishmor, that it should be smooth, and it should be, the whole process should be smooth. We should be zeichet to all the brachos and all the yeshuos, and especially this time of year where we're suffering because of the lack of shalom bayis in this tkufa of the 3 weeks approaching Tisha B'Av. Kadosh Baruch Hu should help us that we should be able to see the rebuilding of that shalom bayis again. B'Bias Kal Tzedek, B'In Bayis Shlishi, Meher V'Meinu Ameh.
The Chassam
Zayk,
the bracha from the
Chassam Zayk,
Al Dor.
Chassam
Sefer.
How about the one that says that everyone also around them is mochel all their bonos?
And they go machane fry.
And you see also that there should be zinner kind of like melab of them throughout the Shavuot brachos.
Yeah.
Can we say,
Does
anyone say that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because it's
like Sukkot,
in a sense.
No, the idea is that the Sfarim say that if the ancestors, the Zohar says that the ancestors of the Chasan HaKala that come to the Chuppah. So the Shpizim coming, they're our ancestors. They're like, they come down to the Chuppah.
Alright.
Sukkot is like a Chuppah. They come to the Chuppah during the Shah Rachas.
So like they're the Shpizim in a sense. They're our ancestors.
Our ancestors are like our Shpizim, or our personal Chasanas. Yeah. They come, they bring bracha. And it's not just, you know, they come to see. You know, when they come, they give brachas. Anybody who comes to give bracha. And each person who comes to chuppah, the mere fact that another person comes brings more bracha and kedusha. People don't just do it because it's just like you can boast how many people you had at your chuppah. Every single Jew adds more kedusha. And if you have 100 people at a wedding, it's not going to be the same, you know, as 1,000 people at a wedding. But listen, if you have 100 tzaddikim, it can be different than 1,000 beninim. You know, it's not always works out in numbers that way. You have some people who are worth much more than just one. So, just in general, you know, especially if they come from Shemaim, it's not, they don't just come just down. They come with gifts, you know. The minhag is to give gifts to Chasan HaKala. So, they come with good gifts.
Just leave you saying the tears are for their children?
It's from their children. The children are those tears.
Because they're going to be babies? Like, yeah. Tears that their children as babies would have.
Will cry, yeah. But since it's being nigzar on them, how many children they're going to have? Like, their full future is being determined now. So the children which will be born, they have a certain presence here. And those tears of those children, and when they will come into the world, they're being ma'ir, the chasen kala, the tears. I don't know if that means that if you cry a lot, you'll have a lot of children. Yeah, I don't know if it works out that way. It makes such a chesed. It doesn't mean that if you don't cry, you're not going to have chalila. Just, sometimes the chasid and kala cry because they don't even know why they're crying in chuppah. They just cry. That's what it means. If you're crying because, you know, it's been really hard, or because you're so happy, hopefully, then, you know, it means like if you're crying because you don't know why you're crying. That's where it's coming from. You see that?
Rebbe say also that, like Rav Nachman says, before you reach the next level of Kedusha, there's a lot of menias to test you. You know, are you ready? So it's like an engagement period. It's like reaching the utmost level of Kedusha. So it's expected to have menias.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It is a man of Messiah.
It's more like Lashem Tshuva a little bit, but the thing about them having a suffix during the period of engagement, so why is it like a Pasha Yetzer Hara for them to have a suffix? Why can't it be possible that there actually is a suffix for the marriage?
Well, when they decided they were going to get engaged, they were pretty sure. Right? But then...
It could what if it was impulsive, I'm saying. There are times where it's a quick engagement, it's a quick dating.
And that's a mistake, then. It shouldn't be impulsive. Be impulsive. It needs to be something which is very big. You should have that. Don't get engaged impulsively. If you get engaged impulsively, then you're right. Then it's just a continuation of that impulsiveness. That's because the impulsiveness means that you were besuffic the whole time, but you just acted rationally. Hopefully, a chassid and kala get engaged because it comes from a rational, thought through, but you think through the fact that you want to jump. And that's your vados. Your vados is your emunah, that even though you may not be able to explain it, but you feel that it's right. Feel that it's right. Usually a feeling like that you're doing it because you know you don't understand, but you're doing it anyways, such a thought usually won't die. It won't give you second doubts. It will only give you second doubts. It will only give you doubts if you start to see each other more than what you should. And time spent will create more sveikos.
Why is that?
As we said, because you can't progress in the relationship at that point. At the fire, the reason why you've been comfortable until now with this person is because each time you go out with them, you spend time with them, you're getting closer and closer. At the point of engagement, after engagement, there's no moving forward. Because the only way you can truly move forward at this point with this person is to have a physical relationship. And every time you're with each other, you feel like there's something which is just not the same like it used to be. Because you know that there's... First of all, it's very frustrating for a chassan and kala to have this gather that they can't. They would like to be married and to do the things that husband and wives do, and they can't. It's very frustrating for them, even though they don't know and they don't express it many times, and they shouldn't express it to each other. It's also an important point. The chassan and kala is not a time to like share intimate things and to talk about intimate things. It's not. It's just going to bring to just more things, more issues. You know, it's not a time, because you're engaged now, that you could really talk about things which are not tsanua. You know, it's not true. To be extra more careful not to talk about such things because of what can come from that. Again, you need somebody to help you through. It's very complicated. But again, because chassan and kala would like to progress, and they can't progress, usually the time that they spend with each other is called a mosav gorea. It's taking away. Take away from the fire that they feel. And that causes them to have cold feet and to have doubts. Less time, the better. It's an investment. It has to be seen as an investment. You know, it's hard to do, but it's an investment. If you can invest the 2 months, whatever it is, you know, to try to, as hard as it may be, you know, you're ensuring yourself bracha and shmir and good things for a whole lifetime of marriage. So, but if it's explained that way, it gives the chassan and kala the ability to do it. If they don't understand and they're just being told, you know, you can only see each other like this and there's certain rules and they don't understand, then they may rebel. They may be upset and cause tension between them. And so having somebody involved who knows and who can speak to the two of them, it would be a very, very wise thing to do. To have a third party involved. It's like, you know, just like when in the beginning there was a shadchan, you needed a third party. So like now there's a new tkufa and it also needs a shadchan. It's a different kufa.
Also, at what point does the shachan leave and they start to speak to each other?
Yeah. Not exactly when the shachan leaves. Hold on 1 second. I don't know if there's a cloud per se.
Should it be more with the shachan or less with the shachan, more like eventually.
It should be a natural thing. You know, it's like a, I don't know if we gave this mashal, but if we didn't, we'll share it now. It's like, you know, the whole inyan of a shadchan is that it's supposed to be a help. It's supposed to be, because you can't do it on your own, you have somebody who helps you. So it's like a mother nursing her child. You know, because the child can't do things on their own, so the mother needs to nurse it. So to hear, like a shadchan needs to facilitate the process, because this guy and this girl, they can't do what they need to do in an appropriate way without having a shadchan involved. So, just like a butterfly, yeah? If you have like a one of these worms, whatever they're called, it goes into a cocoon, right? And then it goes into a cocoon, and then as soon as it's ready to become a butterfly, right? So then the cocoon falls off, right? It falls off by itself because it's ready to fly. And the same thing is true over here. Like, you know, when you're ready to fly on your own a little bit, then the shadchan will fall by itself. Shouldn't be like, you know, should I not? You know, it should be just like kind of understood. It should be just kind of like, you know, it just seems right that we shouldn't, you know, we don't need the shadchan anymore.
And they speak to each other on the phone.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. But even that, you know, speaking on the phones just in general, during the dating time, during the dating process, should be tried to not to be done as much. Shouldn't.
More just like to arrange.
More to arrange, you know, if the relationship is already, you know, very in the later stages, you know, to call an Erev Shabbos also maybe. You know, if this is going to be a time to call during the engagement period, you know, to call an Erev Shabbos would be a very appropriate time to call. Again, there's no kalim in these things, but just in general, you know, speaking on the phone is it's not so beneficial. Doesn't exactly bring you closer, and it takes away from the conversation that you should have face to face. Okay, Chaver, thanks for coming.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah, it should be.